More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. This week, we've revisited our Iron Brigade and Beyond series and the story of Wisconsin soldiers fighting in one of the Civil War's most famous and deadliest battles, Gettysburg, 150 years ago this week. The 2nd, 6th, and 7th Wisconsin regiments were part of the noted Iron Brigade, along with regiments from Indiana and Michigan. They played a key role in defending Union positions on the first day of battle, July 1st, 1863. Such was their bravery that at the end of the day, the Iron Brigade had to be ordered off the field, but that courage cost them dearly. The voice of our Iron Brigade series, Pewaukee historian Thomas Martin Sabatke, tells us the deadly toll they paid that first day and their role in the days of battle to come.
When they get up on the hills above Gettysburg in the darkness at the end of the day, regiments are really quite reduced. The 2nd Wisconsin went in with 302 men. They took 72% casualties. The 6th Wisconsin lost about 60%, over half its men, mainly at the railroad cut, but some additional men later at the seminary and so forth. The 19th Indiana was somewhat less damaged. It escaped some of the serious fighting because in the early morning fight, they had simply outflanked the enemy and hadn't had to do much real hard fighting in that. They simply did what was necessary to ensure that first victory in that fight. But up on Culp's Hill, which is next to Cemetery Hill, if you ever visit Gettysburg, the brigade front, that is the frontage they gave them to defend, was way smaller than what their brigade front should be. Why? Every man in the dark as they dug little trenches with their bayonets, their tin cups, whatever they could get, knew why. A lot of their brothers were lying on the field dead or wounded or they were captured. It had been a horrendous day. The 24th Michigan lost half or more of its men. Horrible casualties. And if there were a few guys that still thought the 24th weren't quite as good as the other regiments, you're not going to hear anybody ever say that again. What is important about that is that you're going to have two more days of fighting at Gettysburg, which we all know in American history is one of the great turning point battles of the Civil War. The Army of the Potomac had to win that fight. That was simply as that. If they're going to win the war, they had to win that fight. What the men from Wisconsin, Michigan, and Indiana had done that day in three different bitter fights that by themselves would have been more than enough for a big battle for a typical unit. They had sacrificed themselves for their country. They had saved the Union. They made it possible for that Union army to hold the best ground for the next 2 days fighting. And Confederates would comment on it after the war. You know, those Yankees had the best damn ground of the war there. Who had won the right for that? Who had held that ground long enough? Had helped the units on either side of them be stout enough to make sure that when night fell, they had the high ground. Largely, it was the Iron Brigade. And it's largely forgotten by most Americans today. And these are people from Wisconsin, largely. The Iron Brigade was so decimated. Actually, it was more than decimated because, of course, under Roman terms in ancient times, that's 10% casualties. And when you have 40, 50, 60, 70% casualties, you're more than decimated. They were up on Culp's Hill for the last 2 days of the fight. The 6th Wisconsin, led by Rufus Dawes, did help repel a real key Confederate thrust at taking the hill from the lower end in the darkness on the second day's fighting and were very instrumental in turning that back. But we don't hear that much from Wisconsin men in the second 2 days because the third and fifth Wisconsin were separated into brigades that were dominated by regiments from other states, and they didn't play as prominent a role. But any Wisconsin soldier that was at Gettysburg was involved. Battery B, 4th United States Artillery, by this time had a number of Iron Brigade soldiers in it, some of them from Wisconsin, and they were up by the Evergreen Cemetery, the town cemetery on Cemetery Hill, and they got involved in a heavy artillery exchange with very well-served guns on a place called Brenner's Hill, and the idea was to dismount all of the federal guns and then make the assault on the hill. And the Confederates initially had some success. They even had a caisson, an ammunition wagon, blown to bits from Battery B. They really took it some heavy damage, but they returned the fire very accurately as part of the federal what's called counter-battery fire. It's to us, it would be you get shot at by artillery and your artillery will shoot back at their artillery and to make them stop. And that did happen. The federal artillery was that good. But we don't hear that much about the Wisconsin soldiers the last 2 days. And even after the war and even into our own time, the big reason, I think, is that we're not the center here in Wisconsin of America's media empire then or now. We're kind of a flyover state. In the 1880s, Rufus Dawes and some of the members of the 6th Wisconsin and some of the other Iron Brigade soldiers got into a bit of a dispute with veterans from New York who had also fought bravely and were a real central part of the first day at Gettysburg. But they were shoved aside, and there was a lot of bad feeling about that, you know, having their sacrifice not fully recognized. And there is this bit of animus between Easterners, people on the eastern seaboard, New England on down to the mid-Atlantic states, and those of us out here. We're Westerners. That's the one thing I want to get our listeners too excited about, is that during the Civil War, we're those tough, crusty Westerners who know how to shoot, can chew our tobacco and hold our whiskey and all this kind of stuff. And we're tough in battle. And these refined Easterners kind of looked askance at us. These other things that happen are legitimate things. The great fighting over Little Round Top, which was so highlighted in a 1990s film, Gettysburg. And of course, no one forgets the climactic third day of Pickett's Charge and Cemetery Ridge. But Frank Haskell, who was an aide to John Gibbon, who was by the time of Gettysburg, not commanding the Iron Brigade anymore, but he had a whole division on Cemetery Ridge. He was there, and he was at the center of Pickett's Charge. And Frank Haskell, actually, from Wisconsin, from this area right here, I'm trying to remember if he was from Milwaukee even, was instrumental first in guiding in some Union regiments on the third day, when officers that normally would have done that for him, he was just an aide to the general, were down. And he wrote, of course, a superb account of Gettysburg. I recommend, as classic Civil War literature, reading Frank Haskell's account. Unfortunately, he was killed in the Overland Campaign in 1864. But I think Gettysburg, there's a tendency to forget the sacrifice that was made on the first day. Lee would have had no problem sweeping aside the Army of the Potomac and sending them toward Washington if the high ground beyond the town had not been guaranteed by the blood of the Iron Brigade on July 1st, 1863, the first day of Gettysburg. It seems like we in Wisconsin get to do all the unglamorous work, and all this great glory goes to these other regiments, and rightly so, but people kind of forget that there wouldn't have been a second and third day at Gettysburg without what the Iron Brigade did there.
Thomas Martin Sabatke is the voice of the Civil War series Iron Brigade and Beyond. He's a historian, teacher, and author of the novel Richmond's Bloody Road under the name Thomas Martin Saturday. He's also the author of Across That Dark River, The Civil War Memory. One last break, and then we'll explore some of the best trails Wisconsin has to offer, no matter how you take them. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.